sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
It's Mr. FSV doing what it needs to do for you all day, every day. It's Saturday, October 25th, week, what is it, 8 of the NFL season. So this is pretty much the midway point of all of this madness that we love and call NFL football. Ladies and gentlemen, I am here to tell you that we have a jam-packed show. And I don't want to waste a lot of time, so I'm not going to talk that much. I'm going to introduce my co-host. Because we got some inside information about Percy Harvin and why he was traded. We're going to talk about UFC 179. And we're going to go over every game that's happening this weekend. We're going to hear from Icky Woods. Yes, Mr. Icky Woods. I got some cold cuts. I'm getting cold cuts. We got him. We're also going to hear a little bit about this London game that's happening between the Detroit Lions and Atlanta Falcons. Is it time for Mike Smith to be let go, or is it other problems? I'm bringing my calls right now, JT, ATM Money. What's going on, JT?
What's up, my man? How you feel?
Like that.
Haven't talked to you in a while, man. You've been keeping a low profile. You haven't been showing up on Thursday.
Yeah, I told you, I texted you what was going on, so that's pretty much the whole, you know, that's been going on for the past, actually, 2-3 weeks, but, yeah, you know, life is life, you got to keep it moving, right? So, we're going to jump right into some stuff now. We're going to get the stuff you don't like out of the way because I like it, and you should too, but we know how evil you can be. So we're going to go straight to UFC. Mr. I don't like anything. Do you mind? Let me be kind now. Do you mind if we go over UFC first?
Go right ahead, man. Enjoy yourself. Go right ahead.
Because, you know, I'm going to be talking to myself, right? Is that what you're saying?
What's that?
I'm going to be talking to myself because you're not going to have anything to add.
Well, I mean, you know, if I can add something, I will definitely add something. I just, I'm not a fan of UFC, so I don't be able to, I can't talk intelligently about it because I don't know anything about it.
Okay. Well, I know if the women were fighting, you'd have something to say. But let's talk about the preliminary card. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this card, UFC 179, I don't think it's one of the better cards ever. It's to me, based upon the lineup, you only really have 2 good fights out of 10. But I'm going to talk about a few of them, okay? Fox Sports 1 today, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific time. You get to see the free fights on Fox 1. And the main event is going to be one of the tough enough, participants, Neil Magny, who's pretty good. The kid's pretty good, going against William Patalino Macario. This is a 170-pound weight class. Now, listen. Neil is a very talented fighter. If he puts it all together, he can be very, very formidable. However, I think he has a glass jaw. I really do. I mean, that's just me. He's 12-4, and Marcio is 8-1. Marcio has won 75% of his fights by knockout. And I said that I think Neil has somewhat of a glass jaw, so that should tell you what I think is going to happen in this fight. The problem is Neil is diverse. He's good with Muay Thai. He's good at you know, wrestling and grinding out a victory. 58% of his wins have come by decision, so he's been able to impress enough upon the judges that, you know, he can fight and win a match. But Rosario, listen, 9 fights and 75% by knockout, 1 submission, 1 decision, that's not bad. But he does have that 1 loss. And that's why I'm going to give the edge to William, because I think he's going to knock out Neil. Neil, he needs to tuck his chin, throw those punches and those legs, and try to beat him up a little bit. Because William seems like he's a guy that's going to go get you. And if he can make it to the second or third round, maybe Neil can beat him. Because this kid, I don't think his gas tank has been tested. But we'll see. We'll see. Nothing, Jerry?
Okay. About the UFC? I don't know anything. I'm sorry, man. I really don't know anything about the UFC. So
okay.
I don't know anything about the card. I don't know anything about these guys. It's not my forte. It's your forte. I'm not knocking you. I'm not going to knock you anymore about it. It's just that I'm not up on these guys, and I would be talking out of ignorance if I did.
Okay. Well, let me move to the main card where there are 2 main events. Now, again, as I said, out of the 10 fights, only see, like, maybe 2 or 3 good fights, and this happens to be one of them. This is in the light heavyweight division. Glover Teixeira, the number 4 contender, faces Phil Mr. Wonderful Davis, who's the number 6 contender. In a pretty much whoever wins this fight is going to be the, I guess, third person in line or the second person in line to get a title fight. Mainly because John Jones and Gustafsson and all those other cats up there, they're going to hold that top spot for some time. But this is a good fight. Glover, I believe, his last fight, he lost to John Jones for the title, and it wasn't even close. Glover's 22-3. Phil is 12-2-1. Now, Phil, he's one of these guys, Mr. Wonderful. He likes to use a darts choke, which is commonly known as a alligator roll. So he locks you in and he just rolls you and squeezes down on your neck if he gets you in that position, and that chokes you out. Although he's not a big puncher, about 17% of his wins have come by KO or TKO. On the converse side, Glover's a one-punch destroyer. I'm not saying Phil has a glass jaw, but I think Phil needs to look out for, you know, the punchy power of Glover. That's his thing. Now, Glover, he can get down. You know, he can take you down, and he can get down and beat you up. But his skill set, I'm going to say his skill set isn't as good as Phil Davis. I'm going to think Phil Davis actually has a better set of tools to actually win a decision or impress the judges. I actually think this is going to go to decision, and I'm going to call Phil Davis with the upset, mainly because unless Glover is swinging for the fences or kicking you so hard that you're collapsing, he's not that exciting. He's not that good. So I'm going to go ahead and pick Phil in this fight. Again, he's the underdog. He's 12-2-1, and this could be the fight that changes his career. I'll move on to the featherweight title fight, which is the main event of the card. Jose Aldo, or Jose Aldo, however you want to say it,
he's a champ. He's 24-1, and he's a beast. The problem is, Josie works really hard for three rounds, and then he tried to coast for the last two. In actuality, when he started this division, Jose Aldo defeated tonight's opponent, Chad Mendez, who is the number one contender, by KO with a knee to the face. Is Jose or Jose Aldo Jr. versus Chad Money Mendez, and Mendez is 16-1. That one fight that he lost to Jose. Now, here's the deal. There's no love lost between these two. They're both great competitors. They both, let me see, they both have good defenses and are good strikers. But I think Josie, his problem is his win. He's going to have to prove to me and to Chad that he can go a full five rounds and give a championship effort. Now, the first couple rounds, he might come out and try to beat up Chad and knock him out, but I don't think that's going to happen because Josie's win, 63% of them, have come by KO. And, you know, it's tough. It's very tough to knock somebody out back-to-back. Meaning, if you beat him the first time by KO or TKO, it's tough to do it again. Because Mendez is one of these guys that if you teach him something, he learns from it. He's a wrestler, NCAA division champion, and he didn't get that way by being, you know, okay, well, I'm not going to learn from this mistake. He takes care of business. For that reason, and I think this is going to go into the fourth and fifth rounds, I'm going to pick Chad Mendez. I think Mendez is coming in more equipped to take out Josie than he was before. He's had more time to study him, put together a better game plan. And, again, I thought he got caught with a knee in a very even fight at the time. I thought it was an even fight at the time. So I think Mendez comes out and he takes the victory. With that being said, that ends our UFC 179 preview. Only went over three fights only because, to be honest, those are the three fights that I think are going to be interesting. The others might be. They might be. But stylistically, don't expect a bang-up, slug-em-out type of pay-per-view or free fight. I don't think that's going to happen. I think this is going to be more of a tactical pay-per-view and free card, to be quite honest. Tactical meaning it's going to be more standing up, more moving around. If somebody does get somebody to the ground, they're not going to try to pummel them to death. They're just going to try to submit them, and they're going to try to get them in position. So it's going to be somewhat boring. Now, I might be wrong, but I don't think so. So with that being said, let's move on to the World Series, JT, something I know you can talk about. San Fran came out and utterly destroyed the Royals, 7-1 in Game 1. Then the Royals came back and, you know, decided, well, you know what, we're not going to take it anymore. We have some bats of our own that can, you know, work for us, and we got a decent pitcher, so we're going to win. Now the series is tied 1-1, but here's a snippet of what it's like for the four horsemen of the Kansas City Royals.
You see the way Ned has such confidence in them. You know, at the hint of any issues for the starter, you know, he's going to go to them. And, you know, we're this close to the end, so I think he's just going to keep riding them. And, you know, four starters on the back of the four horsemen, we'll go from there and see how it works out for us.
What does that mean? The pitching staff. Listen, the pitching staff of Kansas City is good, but their bullpen, the best in the majors. So what does that mean? I'm sorry, I'm a little tired. What does that mean? That means that if they give you about six innings, that's all you got to get scores, to get any scores, because after that, Kansas City's going to win. Their bullpen is going to shut you down, and then their bats are going to come alive. I think this is actually a very good series, even though it's the number four versus, excuse me, the number five versus the number five, or number four versus number five teams. Both were wild card entrants. Talk to me, JT. What have you seen, or have you even looked at any of the series, or kept up with it?
Well, you know, Kansas City is and I've told you before, especially in fantasy, pitching. And when you get into these series, especially in the playoffs, and now this is a World Series, pitching is key. And it, quite naturally in this one, it's, you can see that the relief pitching is vital. And obviously to everybody who's been watching this World Series, Kansas City, just like they've been doing all regular season for Major League Baseball, has been dominating in that category. They shut them down four innings without a hit in last night's game. And I don't see that trend changing. If they are up just like they were yesterday, a run going into the last four innings, seventh, eighth, and ninth, which was three innings, they completely shut them down. Completely shut them down. They couldn't do anything with the setup guy, in the eighth and the ninth inning, I mean the seventh and eighth inning, and then quite naturally, Greg Holland in the is absolutely shutting all teams down in a relief appearance. And I don't see it changing. The Giants are in deep trouble. I think Kansas City is the clear-cut team here, barring any catastrophic injury from one of their pitchers, especially in the relief pitchers, including the closer. I don't see if the Giants don't get on top of Kansas City and be able to hold the lead to close the game out. It's lights out. Kansas City gets up a run, 3-2, and you can just put it in the bank that game is going to be won. As long as they have those healthy pitchers that are in the bullpen to bring in when the starting pitcher has had enough, it's game, set, and a proverbial match.
Well, right now the series is 2-1. I stand corrected. I thought it was 1-1. That was my mistake. But is this the time where we say, okay, you know what? The Royals have waited almost 30 years for this, and they're not going to let it go.
No.
Out here in California or in the Bay Area, they literally have banned Lord's song, We Are Royal, from being played until after the series. The radio stations out here have decided not to play it. I mean, it's tough to be a Royals fan, I guess, when, you know, you have a Grammy-winning songwriter putting that in there, you know, a good song and all that other stuff, but you have stations banning a song made for you, and then the team is going to come in and pretty much, like you said, shut the team down, you know? That's what they did. They shut them down and put them in a place of, well, hey, it is what it is. It's time to move forward, you know? We are not the Giants that have won three championships in the last 4 years. You know, we have to find a way to beat this team that's full of young, hungry, and well-coached, well-managed players. Ned Yost has done a good job, in my opinion. And honestly, he should get coach of the or manager of the year. And if they win the World Series, I think he'll get that anyway. But JT, has this brought you any not solace, but has this brought you anywhere closer to baseball or following it anymore? Or is this just another feel-good story that's going to leave after the World Series?
No. I haven't been away from baseball. I mean, I watch baseball.
No, not you per se. Not you per se.
I misunderstood what you said. I think a guy on the radio yesterday, I think it was yesterday, put it very was right on point. Baseball, especially when you get into the series, playoffs and the World Series, is a regional sport. So if the team that you're rooting for is in your region, I mean, the team that's in your region, you'll be rooting for it. So in this World Series, I imagine there's not too many people on the East Coast that are watching it because mainly this is a Midwest and West World Series. Teams from the South and probably from the East are probably not really watching it as much. I mean, avid baseball fans are watching it, but it would probably be more popular ratings-wise if there was an East team involved, especially if it was the Red Sox or if there was the Yankees or some team that's got a – and I'm not saying all these teams don't have names to them, but teams that have history of being in the playoffs and doing well usually have – the fan base that follows them and the viewage is a lot larger than it would be a Royals Giants, which is Midwest West. So, I mean, you got fans from the West who are Giant fans watching this. You got fans that are Midwest Royal fans, St. Louis Cardinals fans, fans that have teams that are in the Midwest because of that are watching this. But you're probably losing a great amount of viewership from the East Coast and possibly from the South because of where these two teams are located and the region-wise. But I wouldn't say it's increased or decreased the amount of viewage for baseball because that's usually a constant from one year to the next. And it quite naturally it goes up depending on the popularity of the team.
Okay. I mean, I just thought it was a feel-good story that can draw in some fans about a team that hasn't, you know, been there in quite some time. But we can move on. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to give you the reason why or the insider information as to why Percy Harvin may have been traded to the Jets literally overnight. And the inside information I got, it's dependable, but right now it's conjecture. But we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. We'll be back in about a minute, minute and a half. Right now, let's hear about the master plan.
If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety. For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad to... This is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to...
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, baby?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety.
Hi, I'm Russell Gilchrist. When I need fantasy sports advice, I listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics on Blog Talk Radio.
I want winners.
And so do I. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get to it. JTHN, Mike. This past week, there was a trade that happened in the NFL literally overnight. Pretty much a day or so after the game that took place, one of the premier players on a football team, talking about Seattle Seahawks, was traded. Percy Harvin was traded to your former team, the New York Jets, for a bag of dog duty, pretty much nothing. And there have been rumors as to why this is taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, I have a source within the Seattle Seahawks organization that claims there was more to it than just value. Now, I tweeted or I texted my guys about it when I got the information, and I said I'd get more clarification on it. If you guys recall, back in April sometime frame, Golden Tate was rumored to have had relations, sexual relations with Russell Wilson's wife. And, you know, he refuted it, and he said, no, that's not the case. Okay? Well, a couple of months prior to that, because, you know, Golden Tate since left and went to Detroit, there was an altercation just before Super Bowl between Percy Harvin and Golden Tate. They actually got in a fist fight, and Percy Harvin apparently knocked out Golden Tate, whatever the case may be. Now, the rumor or the information that I received stated that Percy Harvin was defending the honor of Russell Wilson because Golden Tate was supposedly the one that did it. However, the information that I found out was that it was the opposite. It was the opposite. Percy Harvin was the reason that Russell Wilson and his wife are getting divorced. Turns out Percy Harvin was the one. Again, this is from inside information. This is not me guessing or whatever. This is what someone said and passed on to a reliable source that's in the organization. Percy Harvin was the one that had relations with Russell Wilson's wife. Golden Tate intervened and stepped up, and that's how the fight took place. And, there were some things said during Super Bowl that really make sense to me about how, you know, people were saying without Percy Harvin, they don't really have a wide receiving core. And Golden Tate, shortly after Super Bowl, made comments, he and Doug Baldwin, saying, we don't need Percy Harvin. We are a good core, da-da-da-da-da. But that was just a foreshadowing of things to come between Percy Harvin and this organization. Well, fast forward to this season, okay? Russell's a professional. He's doing what he needs to do and getting through all this. He and his wife, you know, separated, now getting a divorce. And he's working with somebody that was rumored or highly suspected to have had sex with his wife, and now he has to give this guy the ball and make him look good and talk good about him for the sake of the organization. So Percy then gets traded overnight because of an altercation he and Doug Baldwin have. And that same game, people saw Doug Baldwin yelling at Russell Wilson. Now, some people say from the inside that he wasn't yelling at Russell Wilson. He was more like motivating him, just like Dez Bryant was to Tony Romo and all of that, meaning we can get this job done, da-da-da, da-da-da. Of course, they didn't. They ended up losing to the Cowboys and all that other stuff, and then Percy Harvin gets traded. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm telling you is this. Percy Harvin is a very good player. But from what I understand and from the sources I have, or source that I have, Percy Harvin became a cancer to that locker room, and people didn't step up. People tried to step up for the quarterback in that situation, and because Percy was due so much money, he was given all that latitude, and then they finally got rid of him. I don't know what he's going to do in New York, but I think he's going to be a bad seed nonetheless. But he's going to be productive. I think the person that's going to benefit the most is Eric Decker. Eric Decker will now develop into that number one receiver they need him to be if they can get Percy Harvin the ball. But outside of football, Percy Harvin seems like he's not a very good person. I'm going to turn this over to JT and let him speak for a second. But again, the sources I have say that Percy Harvin pretty much fractured that locker room. And now there are reports coming up of that locker room from the black players, African-American players, saying, and a player was quoted as saying that Russell Wilson is not black enough. If you watch Fox Sports 1's pre-game APG with Mike Hill, who's been a guest on one of our shows, he and Ephraim Salaam discussed this whole thing. This is a cultural thing that's stupid. And these same people that feel that Russell Wilson or anybody's not black enough are the same people that want to go scream, racism or something like that when they don't get their way or if they see an injustice. So, JT, I covered a lot in that one little bit of time, but I'll give you like 2 or 3 minutes to discuss it yourself. And then we're going to move on with these games.
Man, I've gone through this more than once, and it's like when I hear it or faced with it, it's like, are you kidding me? You know, look in the mirror, and what am I? And just because I don't act like you, don't walk like you, don't dress like you, don't talk like you, don't mean I'm not black enough. And it's absolutely ignorant. It's absolutely an insult to tell a person that you're not black enough. In this day and age of 2014, we got more things to worry about than somebody approaching a brother to a brother and saying, you're not black enough. Are you kidding me? That's absolutely crazy. And I listened to the clip that Mike Hill and the other gentlemen were talking, and they were right on point. I listened to the things that Stephen A. talked about yesterday about the same subject, right on point. And it's detrimental, and it hurts because the fact, I wouldn't say it hurts us as a people when you got a certain group of people saying, because they don't act like them, don't talk like them, don't dress like them, and don't have the same mindset like them, that they're labeled or called, you're not black enough. I mean, what does that mean? Just like in that clip, what does that exactly mean, you're not black enough? You look in the mirror, you're black. You know, I listen to a lot of music that, and I'm not trying to justify what I am, but I'm just listening to a lot of different types of music. All it covers the spectrum, okay? I talk a certain way, and I know how to handle myself when I'm doing business, but because I don't talk that way when I'm doing business, it's because I'm not black enough, I'm a sellout. That makes no sense at all. Percy Harvin? Hey, what can I tell you? A cancer is a cancer in the locker room. Regardless of what the cancer is, it's got to be taken out. And make the locker room or whatever situation better. So if it takes getting to a player or players, because you notice that Golden Tate's no longer there also, which he was a very valuable asset last year in the wide receiver position. He's no longer there also, that there may have been a few things going on besides Percy Harvin. I can't justify it, but I'm saying that both these guys had a huge ego. Both these guys had some diva in them. Some of them were more devious than probably the other one was, but if they had to be taken out, Pete Carroll's pretty cool coach, in my opinion, to play for. And if he got rid of you, there had to be some issues. So playing for New York, maybe Rex Ryan can do better things and give Percy Harvin an opportunity to excel in the wide receiver position versus what they were actually doing with him in Seattle. That's all I got.
Do you think that this actually helps Eric Decker real quick?
Excuse me?
Does Percy Harvin's presence help Eric Decker improve at all?
Well, I don't know about Eric Decker improvement. I think Eric Decker was doing as much as he could with the quarterback that he had. I think it's going to hurt him. Quite naturally, the Jets have a new toy. They're going to try to get that toy involved in the offense, especially stretching the field or put the ball in his hands in the wide receiver position and see what he can do with it. So I think it hurts all the wide receivers in the Jets because there's another mouth to feed. Jeremy Curley just signed a new contract extension for $16 million. So they apparently are in love with him. And Percy Harvin is a rental. It's a wait and see. Wait until the end of the season and see if he's worth keeping going forward, or he'll be looking for another team. So this is huge for Percy Harvin to toe the line and be a good soldier. And this is his third team, so we'll see what happens. If this is his last stop in the NFL, or if he can clean his image up, and if he's not with the Jets, he can catch on with another team.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, with that, we're going to transition directly into our football games. We've got a lot of games to cover, not that much time. So we're going to give you what we can, when we can, and that's everything. A little bit might go into overtime. Just bear with us. We might go a little bit into overtime, especially that Monday night game, because I'm passionate about that. Let's hear a preview of the Atlanta Falcons and Detroit Lions game. Then I got a question afterwards, JT.
The Lions like the surroundings. Head coach Jim Caldwell.
It's a great place. The facilities are outstanding. The service is great. It gives our guys a chance to bond a bit more. You know, we're all here together.
His Atlanta counterpart, Mike Smith.
We have to play the games that and how they're scheduled. And, you know, we're looking forward to the opportunity to play Detroit here at Wembley.
The fans are hoping for a high-scoring affair. Over 80,000 will pack England's National Stadium. Tom Rivers, ABC Sports, London.
So check this out, JTHM Money. The UFC just boosted our show on Twitter, but that's cool. See, that's what I get for pumping UFC. Secondly, Mike Smith, is it time for a change? And I'm going to give you Atlanta, and I'll take Detroit. You got a minute, and I got a minute. Let's go. Cherry?
What's up?
You weren't paying attention at all, I can tell.
I said, you're going to have Atlanta, I'm going to have Detroit. But first, while you talk about Atlanta, is it time for Mike Smith to be replaced?
Well, let me put it this way. They've had a bad season up to now. They've been highly inconsistent, especially on the road, and look pitiful at quite a few times with all the weapons that they have. He has to finish the season out well. Otherwise, I do believe Mike Smith is on a hot seat. If his seat's probably warm now, and this is halfway through the season, so depending on what happens from now until the end of the season, depends on whether Mike Smith can retain his job or it's time to move on and look for a new head coach.
So how do you think they're going to fare at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, guys? 9:30 a.m. Eastern in London against the Detroit Lions.
Well, you know what? I know the past history. I know that Matt Ryan has been getting beat up. I know that the Julio Jones, if I'm not mistaken, hasn't scored a touchdown in four games. I know all that. And the offensive line's got issues, and Detroit can pin its ears back because they know that the run game in Atlanta is non-existent. But you know what? I'm going against the grain here. Detroit doesn't play that well on the grass. They got issues. No Calvin Johnson, even though Golden Tate's been playing well. Matthew Stafford's numbers haven't been up to typical Matthew Stafford's numbers. Drake Bell, I think, is going to be the main back.
I'm supposed to be doing Detroit, but go ahead.
No. Well, I'm going back and forth here. Okay, and. I'm just giving you a game prediction here. From what I'm seeing here is this, and I'll finish it up just like this. I'm going against the grain. Everybody taking the number one defense, going to absolutely destroy the horrible team in Atlanta. And Julio Jones said that he's got to play better. This team is going to come out fighting, going to try to – scratch and claw, talking about the Atlanta Falcons, to get this win. And I'm going with the Atlanta Falcons. I'm going against the grain. I'm going against the number one or number five rated defense, and I'm going with the Atlanta Falcons in this. I like Julio Jones to get at least a touchdown in this. Antoine Smith rebound from what took place last week and to get back into the game. I think he gets into the end zone with one of those little flare passes that he takes to the house. And I think Roddy White and company, along with the tandem of running backs, will find a way to get it done. Now, I'm taking Atlanta. I know I'm going way out there, and people don't think that Atlanta has a chance, but I'm giving them a chance, a fighter's chance, and I think they can pull it off.
All right. With that being said, JT, I kind of agree with you. I think Atlanta has a fighting chance and may pull it off. Basically because of what we just talked about. Detroit's been doing it with smoke and mirrors in their defense. Devontae Levy has been doing very, very well from the linebacker core of Detroit. Ziggy Ansah is coming on along with Ndamukong Suh. You haven't heard much from him because everybody else has been performing. He's been taking up a lot of blocks and stuff like that. The defensive side of Detroit is very good. I do like the fact that Matt Prater is their kicker. He's going to have more options to opportunities to kick field goals in this game. What I don't like is the depleted offense of Detroit. Matthew Stafford has been a fantasy bust thus far this year, not that big of a bust. But when you think about his main weapon not being there, this is what you get with Matt Stafford. Golden Tate has been the guy there for the past couple weeks and continues to be that way. Greg Ebron, the rookie, he's out. Brandon Pettigrew is not really an option. So you look for Joyke Bell to run hard in this game. Joyke Bell might get 150, maybe even 160 in this game. I think he's gonna get over 100. Will he get in the end zone? I'm not sure. But Riddick is the backup, and I think Riddick might have a little bit of say of who gets in the end zone or not because he's a more explosive back. Reggie Bush, not playing or very doubtful to play. And even if he does play, how much can he provide to you? I am benching him. With that being said, I think it's a close game. I think Atlanta wins on the road, well, at home, whatever you want to call it, in London. And I think it's a game that's exciting for the fans of Wembley Stadium in London. That's the type of game that we need to put over there. It's going to have high-profile players and decent offenses. Because I know they like to see scoring, but that's what they need to do, in my opinion. So, with that being said, let's move on to the next game. Seattle and Carolina, we talked about Percy Harvin leaving and stuff like that. Now it's Doug Baldwin and company along with Russell the Muscle Wilson. And is Marshawn Lynch going to get in the end zone? Again, we're going to get a minute and a half apiece to talk about these games, these teams. I'll let you pick JT and I'll take the other team.
Who do you want me to take?
I'll let you pick.
And what game is this? I'm sorry.
Carolina, Seattle.
Let me take Seattle because I find this pretty interesting. Russell Wilson's been tearing it up. I think he was the first guy last week to go 300 yards throwing and 100 yards rushing. But that's almost typical Russell Wilson, not 300 and 100, but he's been balling out. And I think the relief, in my opinion, not from last because it was a little turmoil last week, and you saw Russell Wilson 300 and 100. I think he plays even better, even though it's in Carolina, with this defense that can't stop a wet paper towel. So Marshawn Lynch absolutely gets in the end zone. In fact, if you notice, people, he's been catching the ball out of the backfield more, and he's gotten a few touchdown passes through the air. So if he doesn't get it on the ground, there's a strong possibility that he gets in the air. Now, you flip a coin, because I like both these guys, you flip a coin on Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse. Jermaine Kearse is mainly the guy that's going to get you the long play. Doug Baldwin is the catching the yak type of guy, the yards after catch. Russell Wilson targeted him quite a bit last week. I think as we go forward, both these guys get targeted in the passing game because they don't have to worry about Percy Harvin. They can run free and make plays and not have, especially the offense, not have to deal with the drama of a diva wide receiver. I like all three of these guys in flex mode. And Baldwin and Kearse, definitely RB1 and Marshawn Lynch, and quite naturally, in this week especially, quarterback one for Russell Wilson.
I'll tell you what, JT, if you're going to look at this game, let's look at Carolina. They are depleted, and they're still one game ahead of everybody in the division with 3-3-1. They're doing it with smoke and mirrors, too. They're really missing Greg Hardy on the defensive side of the ball. I think Jonathan Stewart actually gets in the end zone in this game. I don't know what's going on with that Seattle Legion of Boom, but they're not as boombastic as they were last year. They're still making plays, but not the rate that they were last year. I know they lost a few linemen and whatnot, but something's got to give. I don't know if it's Maxwell on the other edge, and it's because old boy Brandon Browner is in New England now, and he started last week, by the way. But there's something going on in Seattle. I think Cam Newton is going to expose that issue with Kelvin Benjamin and Greg Olsen. Unfortunately, they don't have much after that because you can't count on Jonathan Stewart to give you much, if anything. Then you got a rookie, Reeves. He was injured last week, didn't play. He might play this week. Missing Greg Hardy is causing that defense of Carolina to look so bad. What I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is this. Seattle doesn't play well on the road, and they don't play that well on grass. No Percy Harvin, you can say no problem, but I think there's a little problem. I think they lose this game to Carolina. Carolina wins at home in a shocker. And you got to keep it moving. I think Seattle's still going to make the playoffs, but right now, as I said early on in the season, I think representing the West, NFC West, is going to be the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, I think Arizona's going to win the division. I'm just saying. All right, with that being said, let's move on to the next game, JT. We've got Baltimore at Cincinnati. Let's hear from our special guest. We got a special guest. He had a little dance in the 80s when he was with a team. It was called the Icky Shuffle. Icky Woods believes that they got to do something. They have to win this game. So let's hear what Icky Woods has to say.
The guys are going to really have to shine this week. If we go ahead and take care of our business and beat Baltimore at home, we still have control of our own fate because that'll put us back in first place in the division, and we'll be right where we need to be.
With that being said, I'm going to talk about Cincinnati. I'll give you Baltimore. Again, a minute and a half, and we're going to rock and roll. I'm going to get some cold cuts. I'm number 40. That's Icky Woods. If you guys didn't know who he is, look him up in the NFL history. He had a dance. Not that great of a back, but he was good enough during his time. Now, Cincinnati, again, possibly going without A.J. Green. Muhammad Sanu will have to step up because he disappeared last week. Giovanni Bernard was shut down last week. I didn't believe that was going to happen, but it did. Young, the other running back, didn't do much. Gresham, not doing anything. Cincinnati is in trouble because their offense is not going to be able to produce. The defense is good, but they're not going to be able to stay on the field 35, 40 minutes a game while the offense only has the ball 20 minutes. Baltimore, they just lost Owen Daniels for the year. I think they're going with Ed Dixon at tight end. I'll let Jerry talk about it. But they're discovering Torrey Smith. Now that all this coverage is going to Steve Smith, the matchup I'm looking for, Steve Smith and Pac-Man Jones or Adam Jones. That is going to be a fisticuffs fight. You might get your goggles and your hatchet and your apron on again because that's going to be a fisticuffs fight. I think it's going to be a scrappy fight. I do believe what Icky Woods said needs to take place. I think Cincinnati is going to come out on top, but it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be won by a field goal, and Mike Nugent is the guy to get, especially since A.J. Green might not play again, and that's going to be terrible for the Cincinnati Bengals. JT, it's on you. Minute and a half starts now.
And I got what, Baltimore?
Yes.
Okay. More and more the Baltimore Ravens are separating what they were saying earlier about running back by committee. Obviously, it's Justin Forsett who's the lead back who gets the most touches in here, even though Bernard Pierce is still an integral part in playing. But the thing about it is that I think last week Pierce got the touchdown, Forsett got the yardage. If you have both of them and you're looking for a running back to play, if you have one of them and you're looking for a running back to play and Pierce is sitting on the bench, why not put both of them in there? They get about the same amount of touches. Even though Forsett is technically labeled a starter, and there's a possibility in this game that they run up on Cincinnati because the vaunted Cincinnati defense and in fact the team as a whole is not what it used to be, especially with their big weapon out of there, and Andy Dalton is hurting. Just like another quarterback that we're going to be talking about, just the one we talked about, and Matthew Stafford with that big play wide receiver who helps stretch the field and make plays. I like Baltimore comfortably in this game. Their defense has played quite well. I think they're listed probably in the top five in overall defense. And C.J. Mosley, who the linebacker rookie, has been playing well. And that whole defense is playing well. So, absolutely, Steve Smith, Torrey Smith. Steve Smith still, in my opinion, is a wide receiver one. I think he's going to exploit the defense of Cincinnati. And Joe Flacco is shaky to me, especially playing on the road against a division rival. I really don't trust Joe Flacco. I think this is going to be a run-oriented game, and I like Baltimore in this game.
All right. Let's move on. The Battle of Florida. Miami takes on Jacksonville. I got Miami. They're going to get their player that was a rookie a year or so ago who got suspended for 6 games for PEDs. I'm talking about Deion Jordan. Deion Jordan returns to add to that Miami front. Now, listen, Miami's front has been awesome. They have been awesome, and that's why Miami's defense has been so good. With that being said, Lamar Miller, he's taking advantage of his opportunity this year and showing that he has something. He can be a lead back, but is he the back? That is the problem. I am not sure. He's going against the Jacksonville team. Their front is pretty good, but their secondary is porous. Last week, they got their first victory over Cleveland at home. This game is in Jacksonville, but it's Florida. Miami plays in that humidity. They know how to deal with it, so on and so forth. I think that Ryan Tannehill, he's found a way to get Mike Wallace into the end zone 5 straight games. 5 straight games, Mike Wallace has scored a touchdown. He hasn't had the yardage. He hasn't been that fancy, but he's gotten in the end zone 5 times. I think that's a good play here as well. I know Denard Robson might keep the starting job in Jacksonville, but that just means that he's going to be a small guy, and he's going to get beat up by this defense of Miami. That is what's winning the games for the Dolphins, their defense. I don't look for much to happen, even though I like Mr. Landry to come out and have a breakout game. I'm going to predict Landry's going to have his breakout game this week. So look for that to take place in this game against Jacksonville. JT, I'm going to pick Miami, and sorry, Gus Bradley, you're not celebrating this week. What you got?
If you've been listening to the master plan, I had told you people that about Jarvis Landry at least two weeks ago, about this kid, that he's getting nothing but better, and I told you that he was also taken over as the number two receiver over Brian Hartline, which has taken place. I still think he's going to continue improving on that. In this game, Tampa Bay, rumors are out. I think the trading deadline for the NFL is the 28th, if I'm not mistaken, that Vincent Jackson, they've been getting a lot of calls on Vincent Jackson, trading him away. But he is a viable option in here. I would definitely play Vincent Jackson.
Vincent Jackson? No. Miami at Jacksonville, dude.
I thought you said Tampa Bay.
I thought, no. Miami at Jacksonville.
Miami, okay. I'm sorry. I'm thinking you were playing. You were talking about
Minnesota and Tampa Bay.
Oh yeah, okay.
No, we haven't gotten there yet.
You took Miami. I got Jacksonville. Is that what you tell me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry about that, people. Jacksonville. Denard Robinson. I know. I had said this last week about Jerick McKinnon, and people were questioning whether he could repeat it, his performance against Detroit against another stiff defense in Buffalo. In Jacksonville, they played who did they play? They played Cleveland last week. I understand Cleveland is not that good against the run, and he did well against that Cleveland defense. Well, he's going against a supposedly stiffer defense in Miami. This guy's got the same, and I've talked about this before, this guy's got the same build, about 199 pounds, about 5'11", 6 feet, give or take, and not the speedster as Jamal Charles or someone of like that or Chris Johnson in his day, but he's got the same body frame, he's got the same type of build that these two runners have. I think he's going to do well against the Miami Dolphins. Now, quite naturally, they don't have too much. I like Allen Robinson in this pitch, in this game. I think Blake Bortles, who's improving every week, even though he's a rookie and they haven't been winning that much. They did win last week. He'll be able to throw against this Miami defense. I like in this game, unfortunately, I still think that they only have that one win after this week. I like Miami in this game. But I think Denard Robinson is going to establish himself, even though Toby Gerhardt is going to be playing a little bit because he's back from his injury. And the tight end, which is Clay Harbor, if I'm not mistaken, is going to play well in this game also, if you're looking for a tight end. But I like Miami in this game. Sorry for taking so long, and sorry for screwing that up.
That's all right. We put it as old-timers. We notice you're not paying attention to us at all. But St. Louis goes to Kansas City. That sounds funny, but because St. Louis is in Kansas City. But anyway, I'm in Missouri, so the Battle of Missouri, pretty much. Here's the deal. Jeff Fisher made some bold calls last week. I'll take St. Louis, by the way. I'm giving you Kansas City. I'm going to make sure you understand I'm giving you Kansas City. Jeff Fisher did some bold things last week beating the Seattle Seahawks. The fake punt at the end of the game to try to seal it, which actually ended up being a fumble that didn't get called, so on and so forth. That shows me that St. Louis is, they're desperate. Trey Mason has taken over, along with Benny Cunningham, relegating a lot of people's number one running back to draft him in the first or second round, Zach Stacy, to the number three running back. That is interesting. But the thing is, this team is scrappy. They're winning with their third-string quarterback, their third-string running back, and they're winning with defense. They're throwing the ball for 300 yards or more, St. Louis is, but they're going to Arrowhead Stadium, and that's going to be a problem. I don't think these third-stringers or rookies have played in such a place like Arrowhead Stadium that it just flustered you so much. I don't see St. Louis doing much in this game. However, Brian Quick has been quiet the past couple weeks. I think he might step up a little bit. I also like Mason to do well, but I like Kansas City to win the game. Go ahead, JT.
All right, I got Kansas City, right? I'm serious. I got Kansas City, right? I just want to make sure because, Jamal,
yeah,
this is going to be an extremely low-scoring game. Reason being, the mindset of both these head coaches is to run the football. Running the football means that the time runs quite quickly in the game. It shortens the game for the opposing team. And they're going to try to grind the yards out going down the field to either score or to kick a field goal. Both these teams have decent defenses. Both these teams have injuries on his defense, but both of them like to run the football. They can pass it. Alex Smith is not a deep ball thrower. He's a short, conservative type of passer. They're going to do the same thing with the second-year player, Austin Davis, and trying to, especially on the road against Kansas City, to keep it the throw short and sweet and have a conservative game plan running the football. But I do like Kansas City in Kansas City to beat St. Louis and go away with a victory in this game.
You need to check your Twitter. I just posted something specifically for you, Mr. APM Money. Let's move on to a good game that looks like it should
Twitter?
Be a game after that.
I'm very rarely on Twitter. Very rarely on Twitter.
I know, but I sent you something.
Okay.
Chicago and New England. I'm going to let you have your favorite boyfriend, Tom Brady, and I'm going to take the dysfunctional Bears. Okay, time begins now. Chicago, after last week losing a game they should have won. Brandon Marshall goes off in the locker room on everybody. Now, some people have said this is Brandon Marshall reverting back to what he was before. And I say no. It's Brandon Marshall stepping up trying to be a leader to say that 3-6 is unacceptable and that things need to change. People try to say he was blaming Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler says, no, he never approached me, he never told me anything like that. You know, there are things that happen during games that, you know, set people off, and then they go back in the locker room and they're friends again. Brandon Marshall went out on Showtime on the NFL, I forgot the daggone name of the show, but it was on Showtime, and said that, look, Jay Cutler built his house.
Inside the NFL. Pay attention,
yeah,
man. Pay attention.
Oh, really? You got my message.
Yes, I did.
On Inside the NFL, he says that, you know, this is his brother, that's the way they deal with things, da 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 da. And it's all about motivating this team to be better than what they have been performing. My contention is the Chicago Bears have not ran the ball with Matt Forte that much. Forte has got his touches, he's got his touchdowns, but he has not been used that much. Martellus Bennett, his production has slowed down. Alshon Jeffries, he's picked up, but Brandon Marshall has slowed down. What I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, is this. You're going to see a lot of Brandon Marshall in this game. You're going to see a lot of Matt Forte in this game. Brandon Browner is going to lock up on either on Alshon Jeffries or Brandon Marshall. That leaves Zarrell Revis to check the other one. This is going to be a battle of linebackers and running back. Can Tom Brady, linebackers and running backs and tight ends and linebackers on both sides of the ball? I think Chicago has a better set of skill position players than Tom Brady and the Patriots do. I look for them to come out and make a point and you know, silence that New England Patriots team and come out with the victory. I'm looking for Forte and Martellus Bennett to have very good games this game. I'm not expecting that much from Brandon Marshall or Alshon Jeffries because Browner and Revis are a very good team up there. JT, you've got the Patriots. Your minute half begins now.
All right. Tom Brady has been super hot, and that goes in correlation with Rob Gronkowski getting more touches and playing better. I also like I like the running back, whoever it may be. Well, the one guy that definitely is Shane Vereen. He's the pass catcher out of the backfield, and it seems like he's the one that you really want, because Brandon Bolden or Jonas Gray, who the heck is that going to be running the football? One constant in this game is Tom Brady throwing to the tight end, which is Rob Gronkowski. But you know what? In this game, I'm going with my gut here, and I'm going back and forth on who I'm going to want to push out here and put out on a limb here and say it's going to surprise again, whether it be Brian Timms or Tim Wright. And I'm thinking this. I know Brandon LaFell has been playing well. Tom Brady's been going to him, but he's very inconsistent. Brian Timms, he made a big splash, I think 2 weeks ago, with one catch for 43 yards and a touchdown. I think he does it again. Maybe not for the same yardage, but I think he is going to get involved in the offense and help the Patriots, who are, I think, 43-3 or something like that, some insanely thing playing at home. I think they take this win. I like the Patriots.
Okay. Don't forget about Jamel White up there in New England. He might not be factored in, but we'll see. Now to the game we spoke about a little bit earlier. We're talking about the Jets and Buffalo. I'll do Jerry a solid. I'll take the Jets. I'll let him take Buffalo. Time begins now. With Eric Decker doing what he can with this Geno Smith and Michael Vick stepping in from time to time, it's not much. By the way, Michael Vick has his FanDuel fantasy league up. He does it every week. And this is my second time doing it with him. Hopefully I'll win some money
and an autograph. Anyway, I think Bilal Powell and Chris Ivory being nicked up, you know, might not even play in this game, but Chris Ivory is going to help. You spoke about Jeremy Curley earlier, Percy Harvin, and Eric Decker. I think Geno is going to have to throw the ball in this game. This is going to be a game where he's going to have to step up and win with his arm because he's not going to win on the ground. Buffalo has just as equal of a tough run defense as the Jets. Marcell Dareus is a big-time run stuffer up there in Buffalo. So even though it's in New York, I think that the Jets need to win this game by the air. I think Marty Morningwick can find a way to incorporate a player like Percy Harvin. If memory serves me correct, Marty Morningwick came from Green Bay, and also he coached in Detroit a little bit, and he has ways of getting gadget players involved. So with that being said, I'm not saying Percy Harvin's going to have a big game, but I do look for Eric Decker to have a very, very signature season-type game this week. Now, I don't know if the Jets are going to win this game. I highly doubt it because I think Kyle Orton is a more experienced and better quarterback that can guide this team to a victory. I'm talking about Buffalo, so I'm going to pick Buffalo to win this game. JT, your time begins now.
Okay. Wow. Where do I go with Buffalo? People are saying Buffalo's defense is pretty good. Jerick McKinnon, who people thought wouldn't do that well against him, did pretty well against him. Minnesota, they had a scramble to win that game against Minnesota. In Buffalo, now they're going against a division rival in that division rival's backyard. And the two starting running backs are out. One of them won't be back this year. The other ones won't be back for a few weeks. They're bringing up Anthony Dixon. Are you kidding me? I know the coaches may have faith in him, but he's Anthony Dixon. He's the third-string running back, for one, and he's a thumper. He's a plotter. He's not a quick guy. Doesn't have a lot of quicks. He's a bang-em in a hole type of guy. And the fact is, they have somebody who's a pretty dynamic back who's been inactive for all this time. Now he's going to get his shot because it's supposed to be a running back by committee, and I'm talking about Bryce Brown. The only problem with Bryce Brown is like he likes to lay the ball on the carpet, but he hasn't done it in over 150 carries. So he may have fixed that problem, and he's the most dynamic back that they have. Running back by committee, I can guarantee you by the time they come off a bye, which is next week, Bryce Brown is going to be the starting running back, not Anthony Dixon. He's going to be the guy that does what he does, and mainly he does things on special team. But now he's going to be the starting running back. So this week you start Anthony Dixon because he's probably going to get just a tad more than Bryce Brown. Going forward, Bryce Brown's the running back that you want to have. And this week, the Jets are desperate against going against the Buffalo Bills. This is a pick'em game, and a pick one winning team is wow. This is going to be tough. Division game. The Jets are not that good. Buffalo really not good. Both defenses, I disagree with Vic, are going to win. Going to have to win this ball in the air. Both these teams are running teams. They're going to run the football as much as they can and pass when they absolutely have to. With that being said, I'll take the better of the two defenses, in my opinion. The Jets, unfortunately, this is an ugly game, in my opinion. But I'm going to have to take the Jets because they're the home team.
You don't have to hide the fact that you're taking the Jets. Let's move on because we've got some time we got to get through here. Now we can talk about Minnesota and Tampa Bay. Are we paying attention now? So, I'll take Minnesota since you have something you want to share about Tampa Bay. Again, Minnesota and Tampa Bay, Jerry. Time begins now. Minnesota, Teddy Bridgewater is getting a dose of reality right now. I know North Turner wants to set this guy up for success, but when you take away a lot of his weapons, there's a problem. You can't do but so much. Jerick McKinnon, he's stepping in. He had a very, very good game last week.
went over 100-plus yards, but they still failed to win the game and was impressive. The thing about it is no Kyle Rudolph, no AP. Things look very bad for Minnesota. I'm going to tell you right now, this is a game in Tampa Bay that if Lovie Smith loses, he might be gone. He might be a one-and-done coach. I'm going to tell you, I don't think it's going to look good if they lose to Tampa to Minnesota. The humidity shouldn't be an issue for these guys playing in Tampa Bay, but I do think that Minnesota has an issue overall. Their defense is good, but the offense is very, very poor. They have to do ball control offense in this game to tire that Tampa Bay defense. Mike Glennon isn't that great, but he's good enough to get the job done. With that being said, I'm going to pick Tampa Bay to win this game because right now I really believe Tampa Bay is extremely desperate for a victory and because they have all that talent and they spent all that money. With that being said, your turn, JT. You can talk about your Tampa Bay.
Anyway, like I said earlier when I was talking about whatever team I was talking about, but it was Tampa Bay I was talking about. Vincent Jackson, supposedly, they've been getting a lot of calls since the trade deadline is early part of next week. But you play Vincent Jackson because that Vincent he's going to be targeted quite a bit in this game, right along with Mike Evans. You know, Mike Glennon is not a bad quarterback. He's not a bad quarterback. He's a young quarterback with a strong arm. He had to hitch in his delivery, but he gets the ball where it needs to go most of the time. Let me put it that way. The problem with Tampa Bay, besides its defense having issues, is their running game. Doug Martin has been a huge disappointment. Bobby Rainey has got fumble issues. So what happens with this coming off a bye? They're desperate, just like Victor said. They got Charles Sims coming back from the IR. That's a little tidbit. You got roster space. The two running backs right now, Rainey and Martin, with this present regime coaching staff, they're not married to. They didn't bring these guys in. They inherited these guys. And both of them have been disappointments in their own way. There's strong interest and strong like in Charles Sims before he got hurt that he's worth a roster spot on your bench. And maybe week 9, could be week 10, that Charles Sims gets his opportunity, and he may be the best back that they have that's not playing right now. But there's not too many things to like in Tampa Bay in an offensive side of the ball. Gerald McCoy just signed an extension on his contract, but that has nothing to bear on this game here. Desperate as desperate can be, the coaching staff and the team for a win, they should win this game coming off a bye. I like Tampa Bay with Minnesota's offense and defense in turmoil and disarray.
All right. With that being said, let's move on to Jerry's favorite team, the Houston Texans, taking on the Tennessee Titans. Now, here's the catch. I'm going to let Jerry talk about his Houston Texans because he's been going over way a minute and a half, but it's okay. We're just going over. I'm hoping we can get on spotonradio.webs.com, all sponsored by Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com, where winners win and players play. So we'll get that on there today. Now, Houston travels to Tennessee. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very close to actually winning a bet with Jerry this year because I've lost two consecutive bets, and that really hurts my heart. But I think his team is going to win this game. Tennessee, they're struggling. They are struggling. And O'Brien is a very emotional and fiery coach for Houston, and so is that defense. It's not the defense that's hurting. It's the offensive gameplay of their quarterback. But in Tennessee, they have the same reason. And that's why Ken Whitenhunt is going to the rookie. He's bringing in the rookie to take over the reins of this team.
Now, here's the deal, guys. Delanie Walker has fallen off since Charlie Whitehurst has been the quarterback. When Jake Locker was in there, he would target Delanie Walker at least six, seven times. Mettenberg is going to come in, and what's the best friend of a quarterback? A tight end and a good running game. They don't have a good running game with Bishop Sankey, but at least they have a good tight end. And last week, I listened to the replay. Jerry said he wasn't happy about Jarius Wright. He wasn't cool with Jarius Wright. Well, Jarius Wright's the one that actually did all the work along with Hagan against the Redskins. And Delanie Walker got shut down. In this game, I think Delanie Walker is going to have a monster game. A monster game. And Mettenberg is going to look like he's a savior, but he's really not because they don't have a strong enough running game. I think Bishop Sankey's going to need a year or so to look better in that offense. But as of right now, he's not the answer. It saddens me to say this, but I think Houston wins this game. But there's going to be some big-time plays out of Delanie Walker and maybe even that Tennessee defense. They're not that bad. JT, your turn.
You got me now?
Again.
It's my turn, right?
Yeah. Do I need to tweet that you need to pay attention?
Okay. Houston, Texas. Jadeveon Clowney's coming back. He's going to be on a so-called pitch count. But with him coming back, that's not just another guy that the Tennessee quarterback has to worry about. Rookie quarterback going to go against this defense. It's going to be a nice meal in Tennessee for this defensive line, especially J.J. Watt. I like Andre Johnson in this game. There's no doubt about it. I like Arian Foster in this game. He's been running 100 yards and getting in the end zone, I think, almost every game. The problem I have is this, and I'm telling you people now, to get this kid on your bench. Put him on his bench because it's coming. It's coming. They may win this game. I'm talking about Houston. I like him to win this game. But it's coming, and I'm talking about Ryan Mallett. It's coming. I don't know exactly what week it's coming, but it's coming. Could be week 10. That's their bye, and probably evaluation on what the quarterback position is doing in Houston. And they may move to Ryan Mallett. But obviously, and I think they saw it a few games ago, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not the answer. Very disappointing. And the crunch time, when it's pressure's on, folds up like a cheap suit. I watched this team from the start to finish, and I've said it from the beginning, he's not the quarterback for this team. But I do like Houston to win this game.
All right, let's move on. Philadelphia at the Arizona Cardinals. Now, this game, people are predicting Philly's not going to be high scoring or get the points that they need to get. I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, if Kirk Cousins can get 360 yards on the Arizona defense, I think Foyles can get that and more. The deal is, I'm going to let Jerry get Arizona. I'm going to get Philly. Sproles may or may not play. If he does not play, that's added bonus for you, Shady McCoy owners. Because they only carry like two running backs. The other running back's on IR. So we'll see what happens with that situation. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be very, very tough. But at the same time, that Philly defense is the number two or number one ranked defense in the NFL right now, mainly because of their special teams. They get these touchdowns and turnovers all the time. I think that Nick Foles should have a very good game here. I actually think Philly's going to go in there and pull off the upset because I don't think they're favored to win this game. But I think they're going to go in there, have a good game with or without Darren Sproles, and I think Shady McCoy leaves some people in the dust. With that being said, I think the statue, talking about Carson Palmer, gets sacked about three or four times in this game. I think so. Andre Ellington has been a beast the past couple weeks, but a guy I want you guys to look out for is Mr. Stephon Taylor. Stephon Taylor, no relation to Jerry Taylor,
I think that kid is going to be a touchdown guy coming up. I'm going to split the carries. With that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Jerry as we have 5 minutes left of live air.
Shootout, 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 shootout. This is one game. If no other game to watch, this is one game I want to watch. They're playing in Arizona, where Arizona plays the absolute best in their defense. I know they're hurting on the defense, but they really turned it on defensive-wise in Arizona, and they play their best ball. They got Carson Palmer back. These two wide receivers were probably through a party when Carson Palmer a few weeks back said, I'm ready to go, and was able to go. Michael Floyd's got a resurgence. He's probably one of the wide receivers, in my opinion, that is an all-pro wide receiver, especially when Carson Palmer's out there and not playing musical chairs with the quarterbacks. Michael Floyd is one of the underrated wide receivers in this game. There's going to be points galore in this game. If you have a skilled player on the on either team, put them in because they're going to be heavily involved. Chip Kelly coming off a bye, playing the Arizona Cardinals in Arizona with the type of Bruce Arian offense that likes to pull the ball down the field and put up points. Play them all. I know Nick Foles is probably a sit in some people's eyes because of the Arizona defense, but Nick Foles, just like Carson Palmer, you know where to find him. He's going to be sitting in the pocket for the most part. So even though Vic said Carson Palmer is going to probably get sacked a few times, it's vice versa. Nick Foles is probably going to get sacked a few times in this game too. But these guys are going to want to put the ball in the air and probably put up outpoint each other. I absolutely love this game and love Arizona to win this.
All right. Before we get off here, yeah, I want to do a couple things here. I want to say thank you guys for listening to us. We're going to go into overtime. We got four more games to go over. Hopefully, we can get them done within the next 10 minutes. But we're here every Saturday giving you the information you need to provide for your NFL fix. We're going to give you great stuff tomorrow on the master plan at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, again, remember, the Detroit Lion Atlanta Falcon game will already be on. So, you know, you got to get your starts and sits in before then. But 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com/BICHBK. You listen to the master plan with Lance Goodman and Jerry Taylor. Then on Monday, you've got the extra point with Lance Goodman and myself. I'll chime in from time to time. The young man has a gift of gab. He knows his stuff. He does four or five different shows besides the extra point, which I thought was pretty cool because he's getting that information out there. And he's doing a good job. He's doing a very good job. Very good job giving people information. Then on Thursdays, you got FSP Crew Show with Jeff Black and Jerry holding it down, do what they do all day, every day, because they're that good. Talking about the weekend sports and getting you ready for the NFL Thursday night. So, with that being said, myself, JT, ATM Money, we're going to see you guys next week. Stick around in the archives or go to spotonradio.web.com to hear the rest of these. Wow, thanks, Jerry. To hear the rest of our picks and predictions, spotonradio.web.com. We'll come back here for the archives. Either way, you're going to get great information, and you're going to get motivated. We're going to provide you what you need to succeed. We're going to jump right into our overtime part, and hopefully we'll get some stuff done, and we'll be out of here. Next game on the docket, Oakland at Cleveland. I think this is a very good game right here. Oakland travels to Cleveland. Cleveland got a loss last week against Jacksonville. I'll take the Browns. You'll take Oakland, Jerry. Cleveland, what can I say? I don't know what happened to Ben Tate versus that Jacksonville defense. I don't know what happened to Jordan Cameron. But they can't wait until they get Josh Gordon back in a couple weeks. They can't wait because they need that help. They were on a roll for a couple of weeks until they ran into that buzzsaw in Jacksonville. They couldn't stop the run. They couldn't do much. And not saying Oakland has a very good running back situation with Run DMC and MJ, but what I can tell you is that Cleveland
they're very proud. And this is a game at home, so I look for them to come out firing. What I mean by that is not throwing the ball that much. I look for a lot of run play with, what do you call it, with Ben Tate and Crowell. And I'll make sure to get some information so that we can get things out there to everybody, because Lance is going to be, I believe, riding solo tomorrow, but we'll see what happens once we get there. But listen to what I'm trying to tell you guys. Cleveland is going to do well. They're going to win this game at home. Oakland does very well with their young receiving core and their young quarterback in the car, but Cleveland wins this game in a nail-biter. I was going to come down to a Sebastian Janikowski field goal, and he's going to miss it wide left. That's all I got, JT. Go ahead. You got Oakland.
Oh, thank you very much for that, Oakland. Jesus. All right, you played Derek Carr. You definitely played Derek Carr. I in a bye week, where you got a couple of quarterbacks that are out, meaning, the Giants and Eli Manning and Colin Kaepernick, you can plug in Derek Carr to play against Cleveland. Unfortunately, it's in Cleveland, but I still think he's going to do well. He's growing from week to week, so he's going to be throwing to Andre Jones and James Jones, Andre Holmes, and James Jones. Darren McFadden in this Cleveland defense should be able to run quite well in here. I like Darren McFadden as a high upside RB2 in this game that it should do well against Cleveland. Otherwise than that, I really don't have anything else about Oakland to say positive. I think Cleveland's going to win this game and definitely bounce back from what they took place last week against a Jaguar team that they surely easily handled. That's all I got for that.
Wow. Okay, let's move on to a better game. Indianapolis at Pittsburgh. Now, here's the deal. Chuck Pagano is sporting the top-rated quarterback in this game, and I'm going to take Indianapolis since you have drafted so many Pittsburgh Steelers, and we're going to blow through this real quick. Reggie Wayne's out for this week. That means T.Y. Hilton and Hakeem Nicks and Dwayne Allen. Thank you. Dwayne Allen and Kobe Fleener are going to be due for a lot. Also, Trent Richardson's a little nicked up, so Ahmad Bradshaw's got more to deal with. I think there's a recipe for a loss, quite honestly, for the Indianapolis Colts. I like what they can do. However, I don't like that they've got so much so many injuries at key positions. Now, this is an opportunity for Hakeem Nicks to step up and show that he's worth a big contract next year. I believe he's going to play the flanker, and T.Y. is going to be the slot. Well, who's their number three receiver? It's not a receiver. It's a tight end. I think you're going to see a lot of double tight end formations or Kobe Fleener standing up and Allen in the tight end position. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, quite honestly, but I believe Pittsburgh's going to come out and win. That defense for Indianapolis, they get after the quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger is big. He can move. He can run. He can do a lot of things. But I don't know if he's going to get away from that Colts defense. With that being said, I'm going to pick Pittsburgh in the upset. JT, you got it.
Indianapolis at Pittsburgh. Andrew Luck has been known to throw in a clunker, especially on the road. Pittsburgh got a decent win last week, and I'm looking for him to pick up another win this week, especially at home. I think they might have woken up, even though they don't play that well on the defensive side of the ball. I think they might have woken up from whatever the coaching staff, including Mike Tomlin, has instilled in them. Most people are saying sit Ben Roethlisberger against this Indianapolis defense. Ben Roethlisberger plays his best games at home. and I like him at home. So I say play Ben Roethlisberger quite naturally. Play Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. And if you're looking for a guy that and you want some high risk, then you jump and jump at Martavis Bryant and put him in the wide receiver 3 or even the flex position to get a big play against this Indianapolis Colts. And the BFF of Ben Roethlisberger has always been, since he's been there, is Heath Miller. And I think he's a viable play with Larry O'Dell or Larry Donald and Vernon Davis on a bye, that you could put him in there as a decent tight end replacement for a week. With that being said, I know people are probably jumping on Indianapolis because of what they've done in the last 5 weeks, but I like Pittsburgh at home with Andrew Luck throwing in a clunker and Pittsburgh walking away with the victory.
All right, let's move on to Sunday night, which is going to be a very, very good game. You can't lose in this game, which is whatever the team picks. I'll take New Orleans. They're the home team. I like Jerry to take Green Bay, and we'll move from there. Listen, New Orleans is struggling right now. They just lost Pierre Thomas for 3 weeks after getting back Mark Ingram, who they had lost for 3 weeks as well, 34 weeks, but they messed up hand. Mark Ingram looked pretty good, but they also lost another quarter, another running back. Mr. Wonder Kid himself, the new Wonder Kid, Mr. Kirby. So everybody went out and got Mr. Cadet. A lot of people went out and got Cadet because the running backs right now in New Orleans are Cadet and Mark Ingram. That is it. Jimmy Graham is okay. He's not that banged up this week. Marcus Colston, I don't know if he's going to put in another good performance like he did last week, but you never know. He might show up. The defense isn't a problem in New Orleans. It's the offense. It is the offense. And with that being said, I'm going to tell you, only play Jimmy and Drew Brees in this game. This should be a shootout. It should be a shootout. This should be fantasy goodness all day, every day in this game, but I can't guarantee you that because every time I say that, it becomes a slugfest, and you don't get any fantasy points. So I'm going to reserve my right to say it's a slugfest because it should be a slobber knocker and many points, but I'm not going to guarantee it. With that being said, I'm going to pick New Orleans, who is desperate, to give a couple of trick plays and win this game. JT, it's on you.
All right. I agree with you. I think this is going to be a shootout. You got two high-profile and top-five quarterbacks going up against each other. One's playing at home. The other one's quite naturally coming into the building on turf. What ideal weather conditions? No weather conditions, let me put it that way. Solid weapons on both sides of the ball. I absolutely love Aaron Rodgers in this. He's been hot for like the last three games after he said to his fans, relax. He's been balling out with Jordy Nelson, balling out with him, and Randall Cobb not too far behind. Those three guys are absolute locks to play. In fact, Eddie Lacy, in his opinion, is a lock to play, along with James Starks, if he's healthy. I think James Starks tweaked his ankle, otherwise than that, they were playing 50-50 in the amount of touches each one of these guys was getting. With that being said, you know, Drew Brees has been 11-7. I think that's the ratio of touchdowns to interceptions, which is not Drew Brees-like. I think it continues. I know that they are almost a solid lock to win in New Orleans. I don't think they do it. I like Green Bay in this game. Tell you the truth, I like Green Bay.
All right, let's move on to the final game, best game of the night, because it's the only game of the night, and that's watching Redskins and the Dallas Cowboys. Here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. RG3 is going to play this game. Don't let Jay Gruden fool you. Colt McCoy, if he comes out and starts, he starts, but you're going to see RG3 in this game. And with that, I think it's going to be tough for the Cowboys to stop him because he's going to try his best to be the RG3 of old.
Here's the thing. I'm afraid that Dez Bryant is going to blow up the Washington Redskins secondary, just totally obliterate it. I'll take the stance. Jerry has Cowboys. We got like 5 minutes, so let's get it in. The Washington Redskins secondary is abysmal. They're injured. It's terrible all over the place. We'll see what happens there. I'm worried that the Cowboys are going to throw all over them. I don't believe DeMarco Murray is going to get over 100 yards on this run defense. That's the good thing, the good news. On the offensive side, I think Alfred Morris is going to get his opportunity to run really hard and put Rolando McClain back in retirement after this game. I also think that Pierre Garçon is going to have a very good game because DeSean Jackson probably won't. But Jordan Reed is also a good play in this game as well. The tight end has done well versus the Cowboys, and Jordan Reed is a very, very good tight end. If Colt McCoy starts, if he starts and plays both of this game, I have to give it to the Cowboys. If RG3 starts and plays, I have to give it to the Redskins because I think Colt McCoy is a manager, and if they don't run the rock, it's not going to be a good day for the Redskins. That being said, I'm going to turn it over to JT ATM Money. I love my skins, ACTR. Take it away, JT, quickly.
Well, let me put it this way. RG3 is not going to play in this game. Trust me, he will not play in this game. They want to give him 100% before they put him back in the game, and he's not quite there yet, in my opinion. Colt McCoy's got the reins. If he screws up, then they'll put Kirk Cousins back in there. Either way, the Cowboys win this, but you got to play Tony Romo in here. There's no doubt about it. You got to play DeMarco Murray. Washington's got one of the best run defenses in the league. I think DeMarco Murray doesn't get his 100, but gets very close to it, and he also gets in the end zone. Dez Bryant and Terrence Williams are going to absolutely take these guys and eat them for lunch in the secondary for Washington. I absolutely love, especially in Dallas, them playing home, the division rival, the amount of confidence that's brewing in Dallas on both sides of the ball. I absolutely love Dallas to win this game, and it won't be close.
Shut up, you hater. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to end this program. I love my man, JKTM Money. We've got to get out of here. Stay tuned tomorrow for the Master Plan to the end. This is Standard Time with JKTM Money along with Lance Goodman. We're going to preview Week 8 of the NFL. We'll see what happens. I might jump on and have a little fun with it as well. I'll take care of business if need be. All right, with that being said, Jason, you got anything you want to say before we get out of here?
That all I need is that cell. That cell, that's all I need. And enjoy the weekend and good luck in your fantasy games. Hopefully we helped you in winning your matchup for this weekend.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that means we're out of here.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.